Praise the Lord. If you are a preacher, you'll know this, but the more you study something, the more you see it all over the Bible. Amen. And you go, I didn't know wisdom was over there. But there's wisdom all over the Bible. And I think we all need to have an understanding of the wisdom that Jesus gives us in Luke 13 when it comes to calamities. Calamities. Amen. So in Luke chapter 13, we're going to talk about this a little bit and do everything. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to enlighten us as to what's the source. What's the source of calamities? Who's behind all this stuff? Amen. So Jesus has some answers about that. I'm going to start in verse 1. Here's what we see in the New American Standard edition. It says this, now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him being Jesus, that the Galileans, now that's what most of the disciples were Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. So there was a group of Galileans that had just been killed, okay, by the good butcher, Mr. Herod. So, or Pilate, I'm sorry. So, Pilate was a butcher too, but not nearly as good as Herod. So here's the deal. So these guys are gone, I mean, in a brutal and an almost unbelievable way. And everybody's wondering about them. And so here's what Jesus answered about this situation. He answered and said to them, do you suppose these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? Everybody just stop right there. How many think? Well, I'll tell you one thing. That guy lives such an awful life. You know, There's no way he could avoid having a calamity in his life. Amen? Anybody ever thought that way or heard others that thought that way? Well, he deserved it, right? Okay. So Jesus is going to give you a different viewpoint. And, of course, he is wisdom. So Jesus is the wisdom of God. And here's what he says. He said, I tell you no, in response to the question of were they greater sinners? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Just to add a little fuel to the fire, he goes on with another one. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? Now it's getting personal because now he's getting on the people in Jerusalem who are all listening to him. Okay? So at this point, if they were not listening, they just perked up. And he's saying, all the men of Jerusalem, all the men of Jerusalem, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What in the world is going on with this? Isn't there some kind of thing whereby bad people get bad results and good people get good results? Okay, well, Jesus is just kind of giving you a whole different peek behind things. Jesus is saying this, if you are not living for God, then the only way to start living for God is to repent. So that's the word he always used. We might say change your lifestyle to include God. We may say it a whole lot of different ways. But here's what he means. Repent means I was going this way and now I'm going this way. You make an about face, and you leave what's back there behind. Okay? And we all know, of course, there's some things in our past that impact our future, whether we like it or not. But in your lifestyle, you are leaving that old lifestyle, and you're coming into a walk with God. Hallelujah. You're putting your hand in His hand. Now, Jesus is going to say something very interesting after he said again for the second time, man, everybody's going to die. And if you don't repent, you are going to be in a bad place. Really bad place that was designed for the devil, not man. Okay, Jesus himself said that hell was not prepared for man, it was prepared for Satan and his angels. But if you liked him, and there's lots of people making millions of dollars because they like him, amen, and they're living their lives for him, then when they die with millions burning up all around them. Amen? And them in a lake of fire. And so many people forget this part. Jesus said that hell was a dry place. Remember, dry place. In other words, the last drink of water you got in eternity was the last one you had on the earth. You'll never get another drink. You'll be absolutely swallowing your tongue, and you cannot get a drop. Okay, so there's more to it than you think. And if you think it's a party, then just get that out of your mind. It is horrible suffering, okay? So here's what Jesus said after he said, these guys, everybody's going to die. Everybody's going to die. But if you repent, if you turn your life around, then you're going to live with me, Jesus. You're going to live with Jesus, and you're going to live in God's kingdom. Here's what he says about another aspect of what goes on when there's calamity. And he began telling this parable. A certain man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard. He came looking for fruit on it, didn't find any. And he said to the vine keeper, behold, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? And the vineyard keeper said this. He answered and said, let it alone, sir, for this year too, and I will dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if it's not, it doesn't, just cut it down. Okay? So here's what God wants us to know. We all have to repent. We've got to repent if we're going to have what God wants us to have for our life on the planet, right? Okay? We've got to turn our life to Jesus. And when we turn our life to Jesus, then you and I are going to learn how to walk with Him. But don't think you're going to learn that in one day. Do you ever notice the Bible can't be read in one day? Amen. It's impossible. In fact, some people won't read the Bible in their lifetime, even though they may read a little bit every day. Okay? So God gave us a lifetime on planet Earth of reading this God-inspired book. Now, I want to make this perfectly clear. I want everybody to understand this. The Bible was not written by men. Boy, that's a big deal all around the world in the religious world. Okay? There are many, many people that are preaching this morning that don't believe that, even though the Apostle Paul said this, They don't believe that God inspired the writers. In other words, God gave them the words to put down on the paper. Y'all understand that? That is a huge difference. Otherwise, people can rightly say, well, you know, those old men, who gives a rip what they said? It was for a different day, a different time. It applied back then, but not today, because it was all just about their culture and all. It means nothing to us now. It's out of vogue. But if it's God's words, it's a completely different thing, because God is the author. God is the author. So I encourage everybody here today, let this be clear. The Bible comes from God. If you read it with a sour attitude, you will never get the fruit from it. But once you know how to pick this thing up and say, Lord Jesus, I'm asking you to show me what you mean by what I'm about to read, then God can interpret his book for you, and you'll have thoughts start to come up in your mind that help you understand this book. Does that make sense? Okay. The Bible says that this is a living and active book, okay? It's for every generation, because God is in it, and he's in every generation. So I wanted us to understand that, but there's something else that Jesus said in this parable of the fig tree, and that is he's looking for fruit. He's looking for fruit in our lives. The first fruit he'll ever see when we go from darkness to light is repentance. That is fruit. It's a fruitful time. Never forget, I came home from a Bible study that my wife and her sister had, and I heard their testimonies. I had been in their lives my whole life. They had been in my life, because we lived in a little town and everybody knew everybody. Okay? So here we have this Bible study, and I'm hearing that God's changing people's lives, and I didn't know that was part of it. I've been in church my entire life, and I didn't know you could change. And after all, I was 28, and I was pretty sure by then, living as long as I had, that I wasn't perfect. Thought I was when I was 22. By 28, it had rubbed off. Amen. And it was ugly. Praise God. So I left that meeting, went after telling Jocelyn's sister that I believed in reincarnation and felt like I was one of Sir Lancelot's guys. I'm kidding. Amen. So anyway, I was going through all that, and she looked at me like, you got to be the dumbest guy I have ever talked to. Dear me, you read a book and you think you lived in that age. What an idiot. Amen. But I went home going, whoo, I'm going to get born again. I'd heard that term over and over and over. And when I went home, I got in front of God and I said, I'd been in church my whole life. I said, God, I live my life the way I wanted to live it, with my own goals. I'm done with that. I am going to live my life for you. Did you get that? Yeah. Don't care. I don't care. I don't care what you want me to do. I don't care. But I want you to lead my life from now on. I am not going to run my own life. Okay? And from that day to this, I have lived my life for Jesus. You can do that. Every day of my life, I live for Jesus, because if I didn't, do that, my wife wouldn't cook for me. Just trying to wake everybody up. Amen. Yeah. She'd say, well, I don't know if I'm feeding you today. You didn't bear fruit, buddy, and you just preached the sermon. Amen. So, with that in mind, I'm going to go back and I'm going to read you just what comes before chapter 13. Jesus is telling us, when you don't bear fruit, when you don't bear fruit, you are putting yourself in a bad place. You can repent and turn your life around 180 degrees in one day, in one moment. I did that at 11 o'clock at night. As soon as I gave my heart to Jesus that night, first thing that happened to me, it was so real. You could bring 25 guns and say, here's the deal. If you don't tell us that that's a lie, I'm going to shoot you with every one of these guns. I'd say shoot away. Shoot away. I know where I'm going. Amen. Just understand, spiritual things are real. As soon as I said that to the Lord, I felt like somebody put, for want of a better word, a wire inside my stomach and started pulling me back to my bedroom, to my Bible that Grandma had given me when I graduated from the 8th grade and never opened it once. Always had it with me, never opened it to read it. That's where lots of people are. Amen. I'm a Christian. Oh, what's John 87 say? Let's see, John 87. I should know it, John 87. No, buddy, there's no 87. Okay. Disarmed you right on the spot. So that's what I was. I believed in Jesus. I believed he was raised from the dead. I believed he was the right hand of God the Father. I believed that. But I didn't live for him for a second, so I didn't have any fruit. Amen. But from that night, it all changed. So I go over, I get Grandma's Bible that night, and I've read the Bible every day since. Because I like to. Not because my wife's threatening me. She's never, ever threatened me that I didn't read my Bible enough. Amen. Okay, so watch what comes before this section of Scripture. He says, I'm going to take chapter 12 and verse 54. He was also saying to the multitudes, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming, and so it turns out. And you say, a south wind is blowing, and it'll be a hot day, and it sounds like it's going to be that right here in this town, and it turns out that way. And then he says, did you know that Jesus just didn't pat everybody on the back? He loves them. So when they are deceived about something, he's got to correct them. Does that make sense? Okay. Now listen, we are raising a generation of kids that cannot stand correction. You know what happens when you don't take correction as an adult? Somebody puts you in a place that's a correction facility. And goes, you'll learn now, buddy. Woo! Amen. So you cannot be successful in life without being humble enough to be corrected. Hallelujah. Just thought I'd say that. That was free. Amen. Jesus said, you hypocrites. I bet everybody just went, oh, I'm glad. Man, I feel good about myself now. He's talking to people that are hypocrites. What's that mean? It means that they appear to be one thing when they get home, they're something else. It means you live your life with a facade. You are not who you appear to be. It's literally for appearance only. But the reality of it is you do not do what everybody else thinks you do to bear fruit. In fact, you are a liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay? You hypocrites. You know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky, but you do not analyze this present time? He's saying, you guys, you've been waiting for the Messiah all from the beginning of time until now. Here I am. You're the religious leaders, and you are rejecting me. What kind of idiots are you? You are hypocrites. You, above all people, ought to be going, oh my gosh, he's here. Everybody is here. Not what they're saying. They're saying, we got to get rid of this guy. He's taken our crowds. And if you want to make a preacher mad, take his crowd. Whoo! Or some cases, he's happy. No, I'm sorry. That's another message. Okay, here we go. So he says, You guys are weathermen. You aren't leading the people of God. Why do you not even on your own initiative judge what is right? For while you are going on with your opponent to appear before the magistrate, in other words, they got a court thing going on your way there, make an effort to settle with him in order that he may not drag you before the judge, and the judge turn you over to the constable, and the constable throw you into prison. I say to you, you shall not get out of there until you have paid the last cent. So he's telling these guys, fellas, there's something that you've got to understand. You cannot be a phony before God. Because he goes right through the phony into your heart. He knows your heart. He knows your heart. I'm gonna take the rest of this time of ministry to tell you a fascinating saga that took place years and years ago. There was a well-known now man of God. It's pretty well-known when this happened. Well-known man of God that over the course of about a year, he had a series, and he said it in an odd way. He said, I cannot tell you whether I was in a vision or a dream or a true fact of the matter was that I was standing in heaven. He said, I don't know whether it was a dream. I don't know whether it was a vision. I don't know if I was really there. Well, that's kind of what Paul said. He said, I didn't know whether I was in the body or out of the body. I just know that I was seeing things in heaven. So for a year, this man saw people in heaven. And he saw lots of things in heaven. God wanted to show him for others to hear his testimony. So this man, as he was taking these journeys to heaven, he said there were several things that God did. Number one, he took him on a journey to the judgment seat of Christ. He said, you have to understand in this particular whatever you want to call it, a vision, a dream, or an actual open vision where, man, you see everything. He said, I can see Jesus and I can see people around me just like I would in the downtown of the city that I live in. He said, to me, it was that real. But he said, I'm just walking along this road, and all of a sudden the road turns into just this widening kind of a highway. And he said, I'm walking down it, and everybody on either side of the road is looking at me. And he said, one by one, people would step out of the crowd and stop me and tell me their story. Tell me their story. He said, one of the people that stopped me, and he said, I knew who the people were most of the time. I just, as soon as they stepped up to me, I just knew. I just knew who it was. So he said, I had a man stop me. And he began to tell the story of his life to this man. He said, you know what? I started off with the best of intentions. And he said, I discovered a truth from God's word, and he did, that changed the face of Christianity. And he did. He did do it. And so this preacher was having this experience. He said, well, I know you've got to be one of the top two or three Christians in all of Christianity. And he said, and that would be wrong. And the preacher said, what in the world do you mean? He said, see this lady right here? And the preacher looked at her and he said, that's one of the most gorgeous women I've ever seen in my entire life. And he said, wow, who is that? And the guy said, that's my wife. He said, we hated each other. We hated each other. Couldn't stand each other. He said, in the day we were in, women had no voice at all. And my wife was responsible for most of my success. And she wanted some of the accolades that I got, and I wouldn't give her any accolades. So she got bitter, and as soon as she got bitter, I got bitterer. He said, we lived a life of hypocrisy. And he said, when I got to heaven, I made it in a place that's the furthest away from the throne. He said, I was just thanking God I made it to the throne. And so this preacher's standing there going, oh my gosh, I'm a hypocrite on about every level there is. Wow, Jesus. He went on up, and another man stopped him. And the preacher looked at this man and knew this guy too. He said, let me tell you my story. He said, in my day, I was one of the most talented people on the planet. He said, God gave me an extraordinary gift to write books. If I told you his name, everybody know it. You've probably read a lot of his books. And he said, even though God had given me more talent than practically any other person on the planet at that time, he said, I wasted it. He said, the number of books that I wrote could have been 10 times more. He said, but I wasted my time doing other things. And he said, do not waste your time. And this preacher's going, geez, I waste time. I do that every day. I waste my time every day. I'm a hypocrite who wastes his time. So he went on and had several other people step out and talk to him. All the while, he was getting closer and closer and closer to the judgment seat of Christ. And he said, by the time I got to where the throne was, he said, the glory on the people. Listen to me. The glory on the people was immensely brighter. Because the closer you get to the throne, the more power there is. And this is just the judgment seat of Christ. This isn't the white throne of God. So he said, I'm getting closer. And he said, it's brighter and brighter and brighter. Until he said, I looked back to where the other folks were and it seemed like it was dark. It wasn't dark, but he said it seemed like it was because it was so bright up here. And he said, then couples started talking to me about how much they loved each other their whole marriage. God likes that. You come to heaven, God will shine you up. Amen. He likes living the life the way it was supposed to like it. Live it. And so as this man got closer, he said, by the time I'm getting ready and I'm just looking up at Jesus and I see Jesus looking at me and I'm about 50 yards from him, he said, I knew that everybody in the crowd around me knew everything about me and what a bimbo I am. And he said, I saw nothing but love coming out of their eyes. And he said, when I got to that throne, he said, I had the greatest sense that I was going to get perfect justice. He said, it just set me free. He said, when I started off and I found out I was on my way to the judgment seat, I was terrified. Okay? But as all those people talked to him and he could see what he needed to do in his life when he went back to the earth, because he knew he was going to go back to the earth, then he was starting to feel better and better. And he said, when I got to Jesus, he said, I had perfect, glorious justice. And he said, it was liberating for me. And Jesus said, you're one that I've chosen to come up and go back. You got to tell people about this. All right. And he said, I was so liberated. It was awesome. He said, later he had another great thing happen to him that I want to end this service with. In heaven, folks, the glory of God is so, you know where the Bible says no man can see God? It's not because you can't look up to his throne and see a figure up there, but he's light. It's like looking at the sun. And you're just going, man, that is so bright, I can't quite see it. And Jesse Duplantis said when God took him up to heaven and showed him heaven for 5 hours one afternoon, he said, Jesus goes in and out of this great cloud of glory. And he said, he'll go in that and come back out. And he said, you can just see the love the Father has for his Son. And you just see it. He said, I can't describe how you see it, but you see, you can see the love. You see love just pouring out of Jesus for his Father, and love pouring out of his Father for his Son. And he said Jesus would come out of that glory preaching fire to all of us in heaven. He said, man, he wasn't just a, hi, fellas, are you doing okay? Anything I can do for you right now? He said, man, this guy was preaching fire. He was telling them, I'm going to get your families. I'm going to bring them in the harvest of the souls. I'm going to get them here, and you will rejoice because I'm answering your prayers. Amen. And he said, man, I'm just so fired up. Woo! So this preacher now is walking with Jesus. And Jesus said, I want you to come with me. I want to show you somebody that's in heaven. And he said, it's real interesting because in heaven, and you can read about this, God has thrones for the people on the earth that bore the most fruit. Okay? And he said, I get to this throne. And he said, all these thrones are ornate. They're made out of jewels. They are spectacular. And these folks are sitting up on their thrones. He said, I got to this guy's throne, and he's got angels serving him by the hundreds. He said, wow, Lord. He said, I want to introduce you to him. He said, wow, what a privilege. And Jesus said, you met him on the earth. And he said, who is he? He said, he was a guy that was homeless when you met him, and he was handing out tracts, and you said, there's the reason that Christianity has a bad name, guys like him. And this preacher said, I almost collapsed if it wouldn't have been for the fact that I knew that that's exactly what I would say to somebody like that. That's me. He said, that's the way I am. And now he's looking at this guy coming down off his throne. And this man comes up to the preacher and gives him this massive hug. And the preacher said, my whole life, people have rejected me. Well, you see why he's a guy that calls a spade, okay? So he said, my whole life, I have had this thing in me. People have been rejecting me. And he said, I could feel when that man hugged me, I could feel all that leave me. And he just said, I'm just going, Jesus, I just got healed. He said, yeah. Yeah. He said, would you like me to tell you his story? The preacher said, yeah, you know, thinking, oh, I probably told him other bad news too. But he said, this young man, now listen to the way he says this. This is remarkable. He said, this young man right here that you see in all of this glory, he was born, and the day he was born, he was taken to an orphanage. He lived in an orphanage, the same orphanage, for 8 years and never got anything to eat except leftover crumbs from the table of others. He became a monster. Okay? He hated everybody. He just literally had no purpose on earth that had anything to do with goodness or kindness. All he wanted to do was get out and hurt people. Okay? So Jesus said, I had a man working in that area, a preacher, or a layman. And he said, I gave him a track, and he gave it to this man. This man's name is Angelo. He said, Angelo read that in his, Angelo would have been almost in his 30s, I think, at that time. And he said, all Angelo did was steal and get drunk and steal and get drunk. He lived in a cardboard box. Okay? So he said, Angelo read about the love of Jesus and the plan of salvation and gave his heart to me right then. He said, I gave him a measure of grace so that he could get saved. And then he went to the same man that gave him the track and said, would you give me some tracks to give to my friends? So the guy said, sure. Gave him some tracks, and Angelo started going out and giving tracks to all his friends that were homeless. Okay? Jesus said he did that through a season of years, and he said when Angelo would go to bed, angels would come around his box to hear the worship he gave me. Jesus said, this man worshiped me with more spirit and truth than any of the professional ministers there were in that city. So then, in the dream, or in the vision, or in the experience, Jesus said, now, I want you to see this man. The preacher said, I know that man. He said, yeah, everybody knows that man. One of the most famous preachers in America at the time. He said, that man is from a lineage of ministry leaders. He said, that man, when he was born, had 80 measures of my grace. He said, through his life, he has produced fruit, and now he has 100 measures of my grace. But he said, Angelo started out with one. And Angelo was so faithful that I gave him, up to the end of his life, I gave him 8 measures of grace. And in all of heaven, not one person has produced what he did in his life. When you compare it all, okay, when you compare the grace to the fruit, he was the most fruitful of anybody that's ever lived according to this experience. Now listen, Jesus said, Angelo died in his box when he found, in the middle of the winter, he found an alcoholic in a gutter. He drugged that alcoholic home, didn't even know who he was. back to his box, got him in the box, took off his coat, and froze to death. So he said Angelo became a martyr when he did that. So he has the martyr's crown. He has one of the highest places in heaven, and he was one of the most despised people on planet Earth. The preacher said this. He said, after this whole year of these kinds of things that God was showing me about heaven, he said, I can tell you one truth to cover the whole thing. He said, heaven doesn't look at life the way earth does. Heaven looks at completely different things. And everything we value in earth is despised in heaven. So needless to say, today's the day we need to, we just need to take a few minutes and get a little self-perspective, okay? As we do that, God ain't going to be hard on you if you are examining yourself. But just say, I've done this before, and he'll share stuff with you that'll blow your mind. Just say, Lord, you search my heart. Show me what you want to remove. Hallelujah. Let's just take a minute right now. Just ask him. Show me what you want to remove. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God talks to you by just putting a thought in your mind. If it's a godly thought, it's him talking to you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Yes, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You can just sing this with me if you want to. Jesus at the center of my life. Jesus at the center of my life. From beginning till the end, it will always be. It always has been Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus at the center. Everything is all about you, Jesus, you at the center of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for being the center of our life. If you're not the center of our life right now, we're going to make that adjustment in Jesus' name. We all know how to repent. We all know, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to